We start on campus where students have set up a second Gaza Solidarity encampment in Polk Place. Encampment earlier in the month lasted just 4 hours. Students are settling in Polk Place without tents, but they are still there. And it's similar to college campuses across the country with similar protests going on. And those have been met with mixed reaction from administrations at colleges. Keep you updated on any updates that we get on this protest here at UNC. Speaking of UNC, when an emergency is happening on campus, students, faculty, and staff get an Alert Carolina text message delivered directly to their phone number. But how can Chapel Hill residents get those same safety notifications? Anyone else who wants notifications, according to the university, has to download the Carolina Ready Safety app. 97.9 The Hill's Sierra Pfeiffer has more.
The Carolina Ready Safety app was first launched in July 2020, but it has seen multiple revisions since. Most recently, according to UNC's Emergency Management Coordinator Justin Miller, the new I'm OK feature was added to the homepage.
I'm OK is a way to allow your loved ones, your family, your friends, to let them know that you're OK during a major emergency.
App users can add up to 3 text and 3 email contacts who they want to be one click away. By pressing the I'm OK button, every contact on their list will receive a pin with the sender's current location and a pre-written message.
Hey, I'm OK. I may not be able to talk right now, but just want to let you know that I'll reach out when I'm able to. So the person can really focus on being safe in the moment.
Miller said the feature was created because of the feedback they got after the 2 lockdowns on UNC's campus last fall semester. The first lockdown was on July 28, 2023, when Professor Seje Yen was shot and killed in Caudill Laboratory, allegedly by graduate student Tai Lei Chi. Just 16 days later, campus went into a second lockdown when an armed person brought a gun inside the student union. Both lockdowns caused the campus and the broader Chapel Hill-Carrboro community to reassess how they react in emergency situations and think about what responsibility the university has to update neighboring businesses. Miller said the app's target audience includes Franklin Street employees and Chapel Hill residents, not just people connected to the university.
Prior to this app, the university didn't really have a solid mechanism to send our Alert Carolina messages to non-students or non-employees outside of our traditional social media platforms.
Alerts are also posted to the Alert Carolina website and on its X and Facebook feeds. But without enrolling in notifications through those apps, the sites have to be open in order to see the latest updates. The Carolina Ready app, though, will send a push notification to someone's screen to help it be more visible to users. Lorenzo Zagarella, who's been an employee at Italian Pizzeria 3 on Franklin Street for the last 9 years, was working in Lenore Dining Hall on campus when the first lockdown happened.
Yeah, I was just kind of waiting for the all okay from the cafeteria staff, more or less. That's all I was getting information from at the time. Other than that, you could have told me there was somebody on campus and I wouldn't have known any otherwise, so.
After the first lockdown, Zagarella signed up for alert notifications, and he wasn't the only one. According to UNC Emergency Management and Planning, at 8 a.m. on August 28, 2023, 15,760 people had enabled Alert Carolina push notifications from the Carolina Ready Safety app. The number increased to 19,413 the same night. And on September 19th, following the second lockdown, the number of people registered increased again to 22,758. The president of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, Aaron Nelson, said he encourages local community members to enroll in notifications too.
If our business community, employees of local enterprises have this app on their phone, then they can be kept up to date directly from the university.
Nelson also says he thinks the university has a responsibility to update their neighboring community.
Our university is not like Disney World. Disney World gets to say, hey, what happens inside the gate is our business, and you all in Orlando, you mind your show and we'll mind ours. And it's different here. And our university, we've had chancellors that remind us that even these low stone walls ought not to divide us. And our university knows that its impact on the broader community is substantial, and vice versa. And the more we can do to increase communication across those stone walls, the better.
Miller said he hopes community members will remember that the app is just one tool in the toolbox, and that emergency management systems aim to be redundant to reach as many people as possible. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Sierra Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Sierra. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Looking to local government now, during the Carrboro Town Council meeting on Tuesday night, a new mixed-use project off Jones Ferry Road was unanimously approved. The project will bring office space on the ground floor, 14 housing units on the upper floors. Doing this, however, required making amendments to the town's land use ordinance to get the approval. Council member Catherine Frey shared their own additions to the amendment, which is ultimately what got approved by the council. But during their presentation of the tweaks, Frey explained how this process is symbolic of the challenges other projects and proposals have faced in the past from the town government and reflects Frey's belief of needing to update the entire land use ordinance.
I'm not making an example of this project. I'm making an example of this process. So I'll be brief, but just know that this is not in any way pointed at Calico Studios or this project. This is how we have done business in Carrboro, where we have a very strict ordinance, and then each project comes before us and we horse trade, and then we come up with conditions specific to it. That adds cost to the project, which adds cost to the rent or purchase price of any housing units. It is an obstacle to a project that we love that does not need to be in place. Staff has done their level best to make this proposed amendment carve out a place for this specific project while making as few changes as possible to the ordinance. That is the way that we have done business in Carrboro. The problem is that doing that ensures as many amendments are required as possible, right? And leaves the obstacles in place for every subsequent project. It's natural that staff would do that, right? But the problem is it doesn't take into account the extent to which our current ordinance is not congruent with our comprehensive plan. I would not propose that we adopt the amendment as it's currently written, that we tweak this, and if we can tweak it tonight and move it, great.
Carrboro Councilmember Catherine Frey speaking there. And again, their amendments were indeed adopted and approved Tuesday night, meaning that mixed-use project will be going forward. You can find more details on the development and the council's discussion by heading to our news article on chapelboro.com. Looking to national politics now as we get closer to Election Day 2024, the presidential race appears to be shaping up much like it did in 2020, with Joe Biden and Donald Trump running neck and neck and the same swing states as before. But recent polls are showing one minor difference that could turn out to be significant and has to do with age. Tom Jensen is the director of public policy polling.
Biden's doing a lot better with seniors than Democrats usually do, which you tend to think of seniors as being the strongest group for Republicans. But then Biden is really underperforming with younger voters. That tends to be a very strong group for Democrats. And this time around, it's not that we're seeing so many younger voters say that they're going to vote for Trump. There's a lot of younger voters who, if it's a poll that includes third-party candidates, they might say that they're going to vote for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Or if it's a poll where you just ask people to pick between Biden and Trump, you see a really high number of younger voters say that they're undecided. So sort of some unusual trends along generational lines presenting themselves in this election.
Tom Jensen speaking there. He says Biden may be struggling with younger voters because of his policy in the Middle East, but appealing more to older voters because he offers stability in a way that Donald Trump does not. It is time for sports, so let's go ahead and start talking sports. We got football to talk about. Last night was the first night of the NFL draft, and UNC quarterback Drake May was selected number 3 overall by the New England Patriots, and that is the highest a Tar Heel's gone in the draft since back in 2017. And that's when Mitch Trubisky was selected number 2 overall by the Bears. May just started 26 games for the Tar Heels, but he was a legend. His freshman season, 4,321 passing yards. That's the most ever by a Tar Heel in a single season. He also got 38 touchdown passes that year, and that equaled Sam Howell's single season record from back in 2019. So congratulations to New England Patriot Drake May, and frankly, congratulations to the Patriots for getting Drake May. NFL draft runs through Sunday in Detroit. We expect Tez Walker and Sed Gray to be picked sometime in the next couple days. Looking to baseball now. Diamond Heels will be in action tonight at 6. We'll get you over there for the call of the game right after News on the Hill. They'll be hosting Virginia Tech. It's game one of a three-game set this weekend, and we'll have all three of those games here on 97.9 The Hill. Tomorrow's game at the Bosch will also be a celebration of the 40th anniversary of the 1984 ACC Championship team. Several members of that team are expected to attend, including B.J. Surhoff, Scott Bankhead, Jeff Hubbard, and Todd Wilkinson. First pitch tomorrow is 2 p.m. Elsewhere in UNC sports, the fencing team's competing for a national championship in Salt Lake City. Softball team closes out their ACC season with a road series at number 16 Florida State. First pitch tonight at 6 on that one. And some news from the track and field team. Congratulations to Will Coogan. He won the men's 5,000 meter at the Penn Relays yesterday. His teammate Patrick Anderson finished third. Particularly sweet because it comes 1 year after both of them were involved in a serious car accident that required a lengthy recovery. So congratulations and welcome back. Track and field teams in Charlotte this weekend for the Charlotte Invitational.